You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Run It Back.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Run It Back. I am your host, Jasmine Halliburton. And then join with me for another week is none other than Sophie Dilley. Sophie, thank you so much for coming back on the show with me. I know you've been feeling a little bit under the weather the last couple weeks, so I'm really glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. You know, I feel like everyone's sick right now, but I have my voice back, which is the most important part. So we're ready to roll.
All right, Sophie. So I know you weren't on last week, but last week I was talking about how I don't think I can go another game with being completely and utterly filled with stress. And foolishly, I thought that was going to end with Yayoka League back at Ames, Iowa against Iowa State. And I say foolishly because I didn't feel no better. I still felt like a giant complete ball of utter stress and panic with going through my entire body head to toe. And Yoki didn't fix that. It was foolish of me to think that all of K-State's problems would simply just vanish as soon as Yoki would come back, because that's what we thought would happen. The team that was pre-Yoki injury to the team that was without Yoki, obviously two different teams. We understand that. And I thought, like I said, foolishly, that it would be like, oh, like nothing ever happened. As soon as first game back, we were hoping she was right on the money on when she would be coming back. And I thought I would feel so much better. But a part of me was smidging, not a whole lot. Because obviously you have to ease back into this. And easing back into a game against Iowa State of all people, maybe it was, like I said, it was a little bit optimistic of me to think that. But it was a game that was obviously stressful, like I will say time and time again, because damn it, man, it was. K-State ended up losing 93-96 in double overtime. Jesus, Lord have mercy. Double overtime in Ames, Iowa. The most points we scored literally, I think, not all season, but most points we scored in once. How about that? In once. 93-96. Obviously, most points we've ever given up all season in 96 to Iowa State, but I'm like, Sophie, I'm tired of feeling so damn stressed every time I watch this team now. I really am. There's not a moment of peace when I'm watching them. And I miss having peace because they are the most peaceful thing in the entire town, on the entire state of Kansas. They were the most peaceful team, but now I can't get nothing, Sophie.
Yeah, well, we know that our men's team is always chaos. They've played 6 or 7 overtime games just this season. So, I mean, watching them is always stressful. K-State, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the differences with Yoki, without Yoki, her coming back. Because Iowa State is a tough game, whether we have her or not, right? It feels like a trap game. And it's hard because we've lost 3 of our last 4, and that doesn't feel great. But I have to remember that every good team does go through these things. It's hard to have this perfect season. In college basketball, with how long it is, they've been playing since November. And it's February, and that's just a lot to expect, right, for them to have a perfect season. But it was a hard game to watch. I actually watched it from a restaurant because it was Valentine's Day. So we were out, but luckily my boyfriend is also a K-State fan and is very understanding, and we were able to watch it, listen to it on the radio, got the bits and pieces of it. But, yeah, it was a really tough loss to swallow. I wish it could have come down to one possession, you know, but what do you do in the end? It's hard to win at Hilton. That's men and women. That is a really, really hard place to play.
And it's like, and I understand, because like once I like reading off the stats, but having Yoki back, don't get me wrong, I am not ungrateful to Yoki not like being here and everything like that. That's not the case. She ended the game with 20 points and 6 rebounds and, oh, we asked 7 blocks. Like, like we're done. Okay. And that is ridiculous, first and foremost. First game back in what, 4 weeks after having ankle surgery, by the way, whole ass surgery, okay? First game back, 26 of 7 blocks. All right. Without Jokic, that game would not have gone to double overtime. Let's be frank. Let's be real. All right. I'm not trying to sound ungrateful. Then of course you have Serena Sundell, who's been pretty much the biggest bright spot in these last few weeks without Jokic. She ended the game with 20 points, one block of steal and three rebounds. Then you had Riley Glenn with 14. Gabby Gregory, nice to see her in the scoring column. She had 13. Jalen Glenn with 7. Gisela Sanchez with 10. Taryn Sides, also nice to see her back on the floor. We haven't seen her a whole lot. I'm not sure what the issue was there. She might have been injured. Not sure. She ended the game with 5. Zina Walker, she had 4. A little bit below her, what her typical off-the-bench average might be, but she had 4 in that game. And then that's what that was. It was a game that they actually saw themselves down, at most, 13, I think? And it was, they were down by a bit, and that was part of Jokic, unfortunately, didn't fix. And obviously, her minutes were really, strategic, because you don't want her to play as many minutes as she did coming off of injury, but obviously she was forced to play so many minutes. She ended up playing 33 minutes because that game did go into overtime. But K-State was able to find themselves bouncing back against Iowa State. We understand Iowa State is a really good team. They're a really good offensive team that we literally can see. They ended the game shooting, 41.8% from the field? 47.4% from 3. I know last week I was reading off some stats about K-State's three-point percentage defense. They were top 10, and they kind of dropped in that. I want to say, I'd have to find it. They dropped a couple spots in nationally where they are, because normally they'd average, opponents would average 21.7% from 3. Last week against Oklahoma State shot 52.4%. Then next game out, Iowa State, a very much better three-point shooting team. Oklahoma State just got hot at the wrong damn time for us. Iowa State, they shot 47.4% from 3. That was really the kicker, essentially, in K-State's losing and giving up the most points that they've had all season. But despite all of that, they're still able to climb out of a 13-point deficit hole and get it to overtime and things like that. And then that's when things kind of spiral just a smidge. I know freshman Audie Crooks, who's making her name for herself in the Big 12 as a post player. She ended the game with 20 points and 9 rebounds, someone that Ayoka Lee was primarily on in the few minutes that she did play. And it was at that time, Sophie, where K-State was able to fight back, close in, force double overtime. And it was kind of that game to where, because Jokic had 4 fouls, Audie Crooks had 4 fouls at the time, throughout both overtimes, I want to say. And it was whoever's post player would foul out first would essentially win the game. And that seemed like what was going to happen. They were literally just trading buckets, right? But then I found out, because I was wondering, why didn't we see Jokic a whole lot in the second overtime? I found out at the start of this game against UCF that she twisted her ankle in that game. So that's why we didn't see much of her, and that's why things started to get a little bit out of hand in the latter half of the second overtime, to where all we had to do was send Iowa State to the free throw line and hope that they missed, and they didn't. That's essentially, in a nutshell, what happened with this Iowa State game. They fought back. They did. They could have ended it out on the free throw line towards the end of the fourth quarter, I want to say, but it's just, it hurts. It just really hurts.
Yeah, there were so many opportunities to win this game, which is what's frustrating. And when it comes down to one possession, you start to question everything. We missed this layup. We missed these 3 free throws. We could have won if we would have made those. You can't do that to yourself. I think everyone does that. But you can't start thinking about things like that, because you'll just get incredibly frustrated. But this game gives me hope. And I know that sounds really, really strange. But the fact that we came back from such a deficit against a very tough team, in their home court, we were on the road. The way that we did it, we forced 2 overtimes. That's really, really difficult to do. So while I wish we could have walked away with a win in this one, this game does give me some sort of hope. And the other thing that we need to remember, that our team needs to remember, the fans, is that Ayoka Lee is not the only thing about this team, right? And that's what I almost liked about when she got hurt, was the fact that we were wait a second, It's okay. We don't need to rely on her to score all of our points. We need to figure out a way to play without her. And then I feel like we almost were like, oh my gosh, she's back. She needs to be the center of everything. And it's like, hang on a second. We can still play without her. And we need to, you know, play with the dynamic that we were playing with before she got hurt, where we were spreading the ball around a little bit more. I would like to see us adjust just a little bit better to the situation that we're in right now, because it's feeling like 2 years ago, you know, when it was like Ayoko Lee was the only thing positive about a team. And that's just not true, because we have so many players that can do so many great things, and we're seeing that. And like you mentioned, we saw some players that we haven't seen a lot from lately, and that's exciting. Gabby Gregory, Giselle Sanchez, Taryn Sides, players are on the come up right now, and some players are peaking right now at the best time. And so we just need to continue to roll with that, and really, we're going to be fine. There's just not a reason to hit the panic button.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I definitely don't think there's a reason to hit the panic button. I know, like, I know a couple weeks ago, I was like, boom, I think we got the Big 12 on lock. One seed, I'm very confident we get the one seed. Obviously, that's not been the case, essentially because of Yoki's injury, and then having these losses to, what, Oklahoma, then to Texas, and then, gosh, who else am I missing right now? Iowa State. I think that might be it.
Those are the only three we've had as of late. Of course, Iowa at the beginning, but...
Yeah, that's all it. But it's just, like, you know, in that stretch, I know, started out ranked second in the country. Right now, I think we're ranked 10th, I want to say. I think I saw that post today that K-State's currently ranked 10. But obviously, things ain't done yet. There's like a three-way tie in the Big 12 right now between us, Texas, and West Virginia, right? With Oklahoma leading the Big 12 by literally a single game, okay? And depending on who's able to knock out Oklahoma, because I think they lost to West Virginia this past week. Up next, Oklahoma has Cincinnati. I'm not confident that Cincinnati will do us a solid and lose, but you know, we'll see. You never know in the Big 12, but it's just one of those things you got to keep on looking out for. But K-State has an ample amount of chances. Even if they don't come out on top in the Big 12 here, you still have the Big 12 tournament, especially if you expect a healthy Ayoko Lee, or at least healthier Ayoko Lee. I think that would be a really good chance for us to come away with a postseason title then. And so there's still like a lot of opportunity is still there. We still have how many games left this season? Whereas we have, let's see,
I think there's five.
Yeah, West Virginia, Kansas, Iowa State, Texas. Okay, so four games left. And then obviously you go into postseason with the Big 12 tournament. That could be up to however many games, depending how optimistic that we are when we heading in there. I don't want to jinx anything, right? But four games left before we're heading into postseason play as far as March Madness does go. So there's a lot of opportunity to really for them to get that ball back rolling again, to know, be like, hey, all of our offensive, he doesn't have to run through Yoki, even though they had the most success with it. But I know their defense, they're going to have a lot more confidence defensively, even though they've still been a really top defensive team, even in her absence. But even when she's there, I'm telling you, I feel like there's going to be not a lot of the teams are going to be shooting over 50% from three like Oklahoma State did, or 47% from three like Iowa State did, when they get that pressure going on the defensive end as well. So there's hope. There's hope, all right? And I know after the spring, women keep talking about K-State women's basketball and about UCF, another game where they just love to stress us the hell out. All right, we're going to talk about that up next. But first, HomeFieldApparel.com. Please, y'all know what it is. Get your shirts, get your hoodies, get whatever you think you might need for K-State or any other school, because they have it all. HomeFieldApparel.com. Hit them up, and we'll be right back on Run It Back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. kcsn.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to Run It Back. In the first half, we talked about K-State. In their double overtime loss, there we go, to Iowa State. And, you know, anything could have gone this way, anything could have gone that way. I know there is a little bit of questionable calls towards the end of those overtimes and a lot of questionable non-calls in the end of those overtimes. I'll honestly say it seems like the refs did not want to blow whistles on Yoki or Audie Crooks, especially in overtime. Both of them got away with a whole lot of stuff, but then everybody else, it was just kind of a free-for-all. Okay, we get that. Ain't Jack diddly squat we can do about that. What's done is done. Gonna have that game in the rearview mirror. So now they look ahead to UCF, and boom, to our surprise, Yoki was not playing. I was worried for a second, then they said on there that she sprained her ankle in that overtime loss, so they're just going to give her some rest. And I don't think they said anything else about her being gone for a couple more weeks or it being bad. I wasn't there, so I don't know if she was wearing a boot or not, but I was just seeing her on TV walk around, and she seemed okay. So hopefully that she'll be good for West Virginia, which is going to be another tough team that we're going to have to play. But UCF, K-State, UCF was actually a really tough team that they played towards the beginning of conference play. One of the tougher opponents that they played at that time, at least in my opinion, like watching it on my couch, I'm like, UCF, that's a really tough team that they played then. And they're still a tough team on Saturday, right? But of course, game without Yoki. And this looked like every single other game without Yoki, essentially. But it was one of these games to where like, yes. Welcome back, Eliza Maupin. I'm glad to see you get some more of these minutes. And welcome back, Xana Walker, from really creating your own shot off the triple and really, really making yourself a complete weapon, which we already knew she was. We already knew she was. Coming off the bench, sixth woman of the year in the Big 12, I think she might be leading that category if she's not already, and she very well should be, right? She ends the game with 10 points and 5 boards, 2 steals. All right, 4 assists. Let me not forget that. Boom, with 4 assists as well to only 1 turnover. Now, this is what I'm talking about, is a fairly complete game from Xana Walker, and that's what we love to see, right? And then, of course, Eliza Maupin, she had a hot start early. I think she scored, 10 of K-State's first 12 points of the game? If I'm not mistaken, she was on one, and she was on one from the jump. Also, coming off the bench, finished the game 15 points and 11 rebounds. Think this might be her third double-double, I think, of her career. I don't think for the season. I'm not really too sure. Either way, Eliza got a double-double in her back pocket from this game, all right? And then Serena Sundell finishing the game with 10. Gabby Gregory leading scorer. You love to see it. 19.7 rebounds. with one block and one steal. Right? That's good. That's great. That's a great stat line. But once again, it was one of those really stressful games to where I, Jasmine Haliburton, who asked for peace and did not get it. K-State ended up in this game 60-58. K-State, I think, led as much as, what, 10, 11 points, I want to say, somewhere around there. And then they were starting to give up a, I wouldn't say they were starting to give up really like baskets. There was like a three ball that went in, but they called a charge against Serena Sundell, which was mad stupid to call. And then towards the end of the game, where I think it was like a 6-point ball game with like under 2 minutes left, Eliza Maupin, she actually did a really fantastic move off the dribble, spin move to get a basket. They waved it off and called it a travel. And I'm like, look here, bro. K-State literally had this game. They were in the driver's seat of this game, but a few things here and there just did not go their way as far as calls and as far as just baskets like almost getting in, but then rattling out. And then you had what's her name? Caitlin Peterson, who was probably the best guard in the Big 12 right now, who ended up with 26 points in that game. Just went down with a head of steam to either get a layup or either go to the free throw line. And that essentially is what made this game so damn stressful, especially at the end of it. But it was just one of those games where you're happy to see the bench players be exactly who we thought they could be and who we've seen them be with Zionna Walker and Eliza Maupin.
Right. And one of the biggest stats to me is that we did get 25 points off the bench, obviously from two players alone, which is insane. But without Ayoka Lee, we need players coming off the bench and scoring. And so 25 bench points is a very satisfying number. Something that's not so satisfying is the fact that we only had 6 second chance points. I didn't love our offensive rebounding in this game, but I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And this one we've noticed it for a few games. Ever since we started to look a little bit shaky, I feel like we haven't been able to make a 3-point shot. Like, we just cannot hit outside shots. And it's felt like that for 3 weeks. And it's like, when are we going to get hot from behind the arc again? Because that hasn't been an issue. And we've been scoring a lot of points. And then all of a sudden, we go 2 for 15. We hit 2. That's bad, Jasmine. That's bad. And then we only hit 12 of our 22 free throws. I mean, that's basically 1 for 2. Those are percentages that just can't happen. And if we're looking at March and we're looking at Big 12 tournament, those are numbers that have to improve. But the thing is, we know that we can improve those. I mean, I'm not saying those are easy fixes, but I'm saying those are very fixable numbers. Those are things we were doing before that we just have to start doing again.
Talk to them. See, it was one of the, because honestly, when I was watching the game, like, a part of me thought, like, dang, I barely noticed that. Like, we've missed 10 free throws. I know there was a moment where I think Serena Sundell, who was a really good free throw shooter last year. I think all around, everybody's free throw percentage is down this season. And in another moment late in the game where she got fouled under the basket going for a layup, and she missed both of them, giving the opportunity for UCF to go down, and I think ended up tying the game. Yeah, they were like, I think, yeah, we were up 2. Oh, yeah, we were up 2 and made one of them. It would have been 3-point game, whichever. Both of them, 4-point game. It was under 20 seconds left. There's a chance to once again ice this game out, and she ended up missing both free throws. Eliza Maupin, she started out the game really well from the free throw line, but then started to get a little shaky towards the fourth quarter where a lot of these free throws came up. Gabby Gregory, I think she missed an and one opportunity, a 3-point play opportunity as well. And Sophie, like you said, 2 for 15, but it's just like these are fixable things. Like, we feel like it hasn't been like the percentages has not been this low, especially since like the start of the season. We know they can shoot. We know Jalen Glenn can shoot. We know Serena Sundell can shoot. We know Gabby can shoot. It's just been one of those off seasons for her. In the free throw line, especially for all the other players, like, yo, it can be fixed. It really, really can be fixed, because once we do get into March, like you said, like, if this continues, which I don't think that it will, don't get me wrong, but if this continues, I don't think we'd be able to get past the round of 32. I truly, truly don't think that. I don't know if we'll even get to the 1 seed again in these next few games. Hell, we might. everything might be super chaotic in the top 25 the next few weeks, and I'd be all for that. But I don't know if we're able to get that that first seed. We might be able to get right now. We might be able to get maybe a three seed or like a three or four seed at the moment. If everything was shut down today, I think we'd probably get a three or four seed. But obviously that, of course, depends on how things go in the conference tournament as well. But at the moment, I think we get a, you know, three, four seed. And that's what you really want. Top 16 or is that top 16 seeds essentially, or I don't know, was it top? One of those seeds essentially where you can get two home games. And yeah. I think K-State can do that. Yeah, top 16 hosts the first two rounds.
Yep.
All right. So that's what I think that we can do. I'm not necessarily worried about that. But these are two things that you gotta tighten up. Gotta really, really tighten up is those free throws and those 3-point percentage, which I understand. And I know offense hasn't necessarily been this team's strong suit even before Yoki got hurt. It just wasn't one of their things. But defensively, which has really gone down the past few weeks, especially 1v1 defense, that's why they had to rely so much on their zone defense, which we haven't seen a whole lot this season before Yoki got hurt. You know, that's kind of put us in some precarious positions as far as other teams' 3-point percentages going up. Because if you watched, or we talked about it, or at least on my show, I talked about it last week against Oklahoma State, who was not a good 3-point shooting team necessarily, but decided to just light the hell up on us at Ramledge. But they were playing a lot of 2-3 zone then, because what are we doing? We're needing to double whoever is in the post because we're obviously small in that position now. And what is those skip passes across the court do? And the help side defense doesn't get there quite fast enough. And what is that? Essentially a wide open 3-point shot. That's essentially how Oklahoma State was able to get us hella nervous last week. And pretty much the same thing against UCF this past weekend. But we were just lucky that they couldn't make a 3-point shot either, to be honest with you. They ended the game shooting 3 of 20. But they had a lot of wide open looks when Jalen Glenn wasn't wreaking havoc in that zone. And yeah, I think she ended the game with 7 steals, but when she wasn't up there, when they had other skip passes, they were getting damn good looks. And so we kind of got lucky in this case scenario with that too.
Right. And one of the things we do so well on defense is we force the turnovers. UCF had 19 turnovers, and in turn we were able to have 14 fast break points. So that's something that we did a nice job of. We did a good job of capitalizing on the turnovers that we were creating. 7 steals is an insane number in a game. Like, that's a mind-blowing number. And Jalen, she struggled offensively this game, Iowa State. We haven't seen her like we did in the first half of the season. But again, we're just to the point where there's a couple benchmarks that I would really love for us to hit. Like, one of them is hosting. I mean, that would be insane. Like, I'm probably never going to go to March Madness games in my life unless I have, like, a bag to drop or I become some crazy broadcaster. And so the opportunity to host one and be able to come to it as a K-State student is probably the only shot I'll ever get, men's or women's. And so that's a super cool opportunity. They would thrive in Bramlage because the environment on Saturday was insane with the doubleheader. It was so much fun. And then I would love for us to win the Big 12. I really, really want that banner in Bramlage. And that's going to be hard. But we can win out. We need to win out, and we can. And that's a little bit of pressure on the team. But I think they're ready for it because at this point, we're finding a way to win even with our struggles. We saw that on Saturday. We found a way to win, and they just don't need to panic because they're capable of doing these things. And again, the biggest things to fix are just, I think, our offense, just trying to find a little bit more of that groove. I mean, Serena Sundell didn't take an outside shot against UCF, which is because everyone knows she's so good. She's getting double teamed. It's just really hard for her to find open looks. But the fact that she did not even attempt a shot is wild to me. Gabby Gregory was 1 for 8. You know what I mean? She still had a ton of points from driving into the paint and from the free throw line, but 1 for 8? Like, you know, if we can connect a little bit more on those outside shots, we're going to be in such better shape at this point. And I mean, these things are possible. It's possible for us to win the Big 12. I don't know white people are so worried about that, because we can win it in the regular season if things go a little bit differently in terms of standings. And then we can also go into Kansas City and win the tournament. I don't have a doubt in my mind that that is in our wheelhouse, but there just has to be some minor tweaks made to this team in order to do so.
Absolutely. I'm trying to figure out when was the last time K-State won the Big 12. I think 2008. Yeah, the last time K-State has won a Big 12 championship, obviously because Baylor has literally been in the driver's seat for the last however many years. Since they were having Kim Mulkey, and of course, since she's gone, their reign has not been as supreme. And it's literally been anybody's league up to that point. Obviously, you've seen the growth of Texas over the years as well. So essentially Baylor, Texas, everybody else from time to time, whoever wants to battle it out for second place behind Baylor, right? Of course, in the last few years, we've seen a teams other than Baylor win the Big 12. We've seen Iowa State do. We've seen Oklahoma do it and everything like that. And so the opportunity is there for K-State to win out, to win, be regular season conference champions. Like I said, we need some rough luck from Oklahoma's side to really happen, because it sucked losing to them on the road after going 1-1 with them on the season. And then things after that, that's why they're gonna really need to lock in. Like you said, Sophie, you don't want to really put so much pressure on them to do so. I don't even know if that's a consistent conversation that Jeff Biddy has with his players. I know when I talked to him before, they don't look at the rankings. They don't look at what number is in front of and like was in front of their name. But as far as winning the Big 12, I don't know if he talks about that. He probably does, and he probably just be like, watch film. This is what we're gonna do. Draw the plays. Y'all go out there and do them. All right. That's probably as much as he's gonna do. Anything outside noise, such as winning the Big 12, he might not talk about it. But that's why we're here. Okay, to talk about it. And it's going to start with K-State playing West Virginia. That's gonna be in Bramlage. This is going to be tough. This is going to be a very low-scoring game, Sophie. K-State and West Virginia are the two best defensive teams in the Big 12. Let me pull up the numbers. K-State opponents, they are held to 56 points a game on average. West Virginia, they hold their opponents 56.6 points per game on average. So you can't be any more even, essentially. Yeah. And West Virginia, I think their record, they have one less loss than we do. We're 22-4. They're 22-3. This literally might be the toughest team that we play. And I don't know, and we did play Texas twice. This might be the same. And that does worry me, but it would worry me a lot less if Yoki's going to be able to play this game and at least give us 25 minutes. And I think.
Yeah.
I know Eliza Maupin, she does her best when there's not a big body post player that she has to go up against, per se. If it's another, a player that could play the four and just sometimes play the five, essentially, I think that's where she thrives the most, where we've seen that. If it is, a more big body defender, that's where hopefully Yoki can be able to slow them down. Like I said, I'm not asking her to just carry the load, because that would be so unfair of me, especially after she's missed the last few weeks and still kind of limping and sprained ankle and everything. I'm not asking her to do that at all. But I think it's going to go down between Yoki and Eliza Maupin being those two to have the chance to really be able to get this win against West Virginia, especially because of how well they do defensively and their perimeter defenders. I think those two right there that's going to be the catalyst on what could get us a win.
And I mean, if there's going to be a game where we need to break out offensively, it's got to be this one, because you said it, they're such great defenders. And so if we get looks on outside shots, we have got to make them. We can't go 2 for 15, because we're not even going to have 15 looks. We need to go 5 for 10, theoretically, right? That'd be pretty awesome. And for me, I would be worried about this game if it was on the road. I'm still apprehensive. I'm still a little bit nervous, but I would be willing to bet most of my bank account, which isn't that much money, that we go undefeated at home. I don't think we lose in Bramlage this year. And that might be a bold take, but I don't think we lose in Bramlage this year. And so this game being at home gives me a lot of hope. It's going to be Wednesday. It might be a little bit more sparse than these Saturday games have been, but I guarantee these fans still come out. I'm expecting, 8,000-9,000 in Bramlage, which is a pretty awesome environment for these girls to play in. And I'm very excited for it, because it's going to be another really, really fun night of basketball. But Jasmine, it's probably going to be stressful. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to be easy on the blood pressure at all.
I know. And I might as well just sit my behind down somewhere and stop being ridiculous asking for a non-stressful outing. That it would really be dumb of me to ask that publicly again. I can't do it because apparently I don't deserve it. Like, I don't deserve peace, apparently. But if they still end up winning, fine. I will have however many heart attacks I need to have if they still end up on top. Okay, I think that's a fair enough give and take. But we have, and Sophie, you're right, the home, fingers crossed. There is 4 games left. 2 of them are at home against 2 very, very tough opponents in West Virginia, who's ranked, 23rd right now. And then Iowa State get to run that back with them. So, is it an easy task? Hell no. No, it is not. What about this season has been damned easy? Not a single bit of it, all right? We understand that. And then they go to Kansas after West Virginia. I'm still not sleeping on them either. I know it hasn't been like the season that I think a lot of them would have thought necessarily, because I think they were, projected 3rd in the Big 12. Right now they are, as the thing is loading. Yeah, right now they are, Jesus, Lord have mercy, computer. They're actually, tied. Actually, no, they're in 3rd place in the Big 12. So essentially, sure. But there's also a 3-way tie for 2nd place. So that's why they're at where they're at. They're at 8-6 in conference play. So I'm not sleeping on them either. I know last time we played them, we didn't have Yoki. They didn't have Tyana Jackson. So things are obviously it's going to be a little bit different. And once again, it's another game on the road. So you never really know. And then they end the season out with Texas Tech. So I'm not tripping. And looking at it right now, Nick, who is a KU fan and alum, he said KU is hot right now and they have won 5 in a row. So thank you for making me feel better, Nicholas. But anywho, that is what that is, right? And so a lot of teams have a lot of chance to make a lot of damn noise in the next couple weeks. Like I said, the standing in the next 25, not too sure how that's shaking out right now. A lot of things change and things are going to get even more crazy once again that conference tournaments are going to be coming up literally within the next couple weeks. So things are going to be hectic. This is the part of college basketball that I think everyone really, really loves. It's the basketball that goes on in January, February. That's where things start to get tight. That's where things start to get a little bit fun. Unless you're just an avid basketball fan and not the fan of a team who's really, really good but always stresses you out just like us. But I just need to take a breath, Sophie. That's all. I just need a breath. All right. You can tell I'm panicking in my voice, but I'm glad that you're a little bit more cool, calm, and collected.
No, we have 4 games left in the regular season. I'm looking at these 4 games very objectively. KU is going to be tough. But what I like about our schedule this year, because we've added new teams, so we don't play everyone twice, right? But the teams that we've lost to, we play them all twice. So we've already beat Texas once, and we beat Oklahoma once. We have the opportunity to beat Iowa State. And then as long as we win against West Virginia and Texas Tech, then we will have beat everyone in the Big 12. And knowing that we have won over every single other opponent in our conference is a really cool leg up going into the tournament. We've seen everyone. We know we're capable of beating them, right? And so if we can just, I really want to get back at Iowa State. That one's really important to me, and the West Virginia one as well. And so if we can just win out, I'm going to feel so good. I'm going to feel so great if we win these next 4 games, because ending a regular season, what would that make us, 26-4? A four loss season? Who can be mad at that? That's insane. Like, still even looking at it's like, oh my gosh, we've lost 3 of our last 4. We've only lost 4 games this entire season. That is not very many games that we have lost at all. And so, I mean, who can be upset with that, right? So it's nerve-wracking, it's exciting, but you're right. We are in the best part of our season right now, and it's going to be stressful. It's going to be so much fun. And as a major, major basketball fan, I'm ready to get into it.
Goodness, I am too. I really wish I can go to these next 4 games And if by the grace of God, I can go to any of the games in Kansas City for the tournament, or hell, if I can even go to games where we host for March Madness, I would love that. But they always play on days that I am working. So we're going to hope for the best. We're going to hope for the best because I really want to go see a game before this season ends. Okay. But Sophie, you're confident in this team. I have no reason not to be confident in this team. We've seen them at their best. We've seen them at their lowest and still literally push teams to the brink. You know what I mean? So, like, there's really no reason for me to be absolutely worried. And I don't think there's any reason for you guys to be absolutely worried, because we still got four games left. We still got everybody else that's part of the schedule is going to be hectic. Everybody going to be nervous. Everybody going to be sweating. So what's a little bit of chaos? And especially if that chaos can work in our favor no matter how anything goes, right? But now we just got to sit back, got to wait and see. We can't get too far ahead because we still got to go up against a tough opponent in West Virginia on Wednesday. That game's going to be at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN+. So if y'all not there like me, watch it on TV and do the best you can, all right? Just pour you a drink, whatever you need to do to get through it, and that's what you're going to do. But until then, that's off running back. Sophie, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I truly, truly appreciate it, and I'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.